Come a long way. Our church has come a long way. Our Sunday school has grown quite a bit in the last little while, and we're so thankful for what God is doing through our church, through our teachers. As Dennis said, we have wonderful teachers, wonderful substitute teachers who devote themselves each and every week to share the gospel with these kids, to lay out the truth of God's word, and then our adult teachers as well. We're just so blessed, and it's a very, very important part of our church. And so thank you guys once again. If you will, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to take a break for a little while from 2 Timothy as we come into Thanksgiving and then also into the Christmas season. So we'll pick back up with 2 Timothy after all that. But today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. This very familiar passage that we all know so well. But we're going to read it together and talk about it for just a few minutes this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Paul says here, starting in verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint. Giving thanks in all things. And I know that as we look at our society today, we get kind of disgusted with what's going on in the world today. We look at the sinfulness and the brokenness around us. We see so many people turning away from the Lord. But we're also really excited because this Thursday is Thanksgiving and we get to be together with family. And, you know, I'm going to attempt to smoke some turkeys this year. I've never done it before, so hopefully it goes well. And I always look forward to my wife's cornbread dressing. I don't know what kind of dressing you guys have at your house. I love cornbread. Man, I really like cornbread. And I like cornbread dressing. And I can eat sweet cornbread, non-sweet cornbread. I can really get myself in trouble. And if there's one thing at the food pantry that comes in that I will always take, is sometimes we get these little loaves of cornbread in. I'll always grab one and put it in my pocket and take it home and eat it later. But I really look forward to that. But, you know, as we prepare to get together with our families this Thursday, like I said, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. And it's sometimes hard to be thankful in the midst of political unrest and economic hardships and overall brokenness in our society. I mean, yeah, we're thankful for our health, we're thankful for our families and our church and our freedom, but how do we abide by Paul's words here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 18? Give thanks in everything. Well, let's take a look as we talk about this morning. The first thing I want to do is answer a question. And the question is this: what does give thanks mean? What is Paul talking about there when he says give thanks? What does give thanks mean? We've talked about this before, but I'm going to mention it again. But if you recall, the Lord's Supper is sometimes referred to as the Eucharist. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the Passover meal with his disciples, what did he do? He broke bread, he drank from the cup, and the Bible says that when he did this, he did so by doing what? By giving thanks, right? By giving thanks. It's also the same word that's used in other Thanksgiving moments in the Bible. Like when Jesus gave thanks for the loaves and fish. And when he healed the 10 lepers. And so giving thanks, when we talk about giving thanks, it's the act of showing appreciation. It's the act of being thankful or showing gratitude for the gifts and the blessings that we have. And we understand that these blessings are maybe not something that we are necessarily entitled to. Maybe it's something that we don't necessarily deserve. But God gives us these things. He's given us these things freely because of his great love for us. And so when we talk about giving thanks, when we talk about being thankful, it's showing a deep appreciation. It's an action of showing appreciation of what God has given us through his blessing to us. Another question I want to answer this morning, and number two, is why should we give thanks in all things? Why does Paul mention that? Why should we give thanks in all things? All throughout the Bible, if you read from Genesis all the way through to the end, we see evidence of God's people thanking God in a number of different ways. In the Old Testament, what do we see? We see people giving sacrifices. We see people writing and singing songs. We see people keeping and celebrating the festivals and the feast in order to honor and give thanks to God for his provision. We see that in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we see a little bit different. We see people often showing their thanks by simply saying the words after something marvelous happened to them when they were healed or something like that. And so when we give thanks, it reminds us of God's blessing. It's a reminder of all the things that he has done for us in our lives. For example, when we give thanks for God's salvation through Jesus Christ, what does it do? It reminds us that even though we don't deserve it, God's love and mercy have been lavished upon us. And when we give thanks, and giving thanks is always, I think, more for our benefit so that we can remember God's blessings and also to keep us humble. God doesn't sit up in heaven needing to be thanked for the things that he gives us. It's not like he's got this attitude about him or this sense about him where he needs people to thank him. We should thank him because it's a reminder to us of how God has blessed us. Thanksgiving is more for us than I think than it is for God. And that's why we need to be in the practice of doing it, because it reminds us of God's blessings. It reminds us that God has love and mercy for us, that he's lavished his love upon us. And so giving thanks is always for our benefit so that we can remember God's blessings and to keep us humble. But a third question I want to answer this morning, and it's very, very important, as we kind of get into the very important message of this scripture, is how do we give thanks in all things? Okay? How do we do that? Because let's face it, life always gives us things that we're seemingly not very thankful for. And as we discussed earlier, you know, it's hard to give thanks when things are going difficult. It's really easy to give thanks when everything's going our way. You know, when we get the promotion at work or get the raise, when we're healthy and our vehicles are running perfectly. But what about when we lose our job? What about when we struggle with health issues? What about when our loved one dies and our cars need repair? How can we be thankful in these circumstances? How can we be thankful when these difficult times come? Well, there's a couple of things that I think have really helped me in my life, and I want to encourage you with these this morning. The first thing that we can do is we think about how to give thanks in all things and how can we do it in difficult circumstances. Number one, by acknowledging God's wisdom. Now, what do I mean by that? Acknowledging God's wisdom. Basically, we have to admit, God, you know what? You're smarter than me. You know better than I do. You know the beginning and the end of everything. We only see the here and now. We can kind of look back and see how God's been at work, but we can't see tomorrow. We kind of have an idea of how tomorrow is going to play out, but things could happen and it could change drastically. And we have to admit that God is smarter than we are. He knows best. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. He sees the beginning and the end. And when we go through struggles, it's a reminder that we must trust him no matter what, that he always has our best interest at heart. But when we realize that God's wisdom is greater than ours, when a difficult thing comes, we can say, thank you, God. Thank you for this in my life, no matter what is happening around us. And listen, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's really easy to be thankful when things are going difficult. And as hard as it may be to be thankful in everything, what is the alternative? Think about that for a minute. What's the alternative to not being thankful in all circumstances? Is it to give in to anger and despair? Yeah, we do that sometimes. Is it to curse God even? Sometimes we might even feel like doing that. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? Haven't I been through enough already? Look at what I've been through. Look at all the things that you've put me through. Why are you continuing to do this? I mean, Job had to answer some of those questions in his life. But what does the Bible say? That when all these things happen in Job's life, when he literally lost everything, the Bible says that he fell to the ground and he worshiped the Lord. He acknowledged that God was still God in his life. And so the alternative is to curse God, to just let ourselves be in despair and anger. Or we can say, God, you know what? You're in control. And even though I don't understand, and even though I don't agree with this, I'm going to trust you. Even though this is not fun, this is not what I signed up for, this is not what I thought would happen, this is not where I thought I would be at this point in my life, I'm going to trust in you because you know better than me. And so how can we give thanks in difficult circumstances? How can we give thanks in all things? By acknowledging God's wisdom. Another thing is equally important is by keeping an eternal focus. By keeping an eternal focus. What do I mean about that? What I mean by that? When we focus on the kingdom of God rather than the things of earth, we can be thankful. Here's how. We understand material things come and go. I mean, we all have our things that we like. We all have our things that we really... I'm a creature of habit in my life. When I find something I like, I pretty much stick to that. And I don't deviate from that much. And sometimes that's a fault in my life. But we all have these things that we're comforted with. We all have these things that we like. We all have these things that we hold on to. I think I told you one time when I was a little boy, my mother always had really long blonde hair. And that's all I knew since I was a baby when I was born up until eighth grade. And I came home from school one day and my mother had cut her hair. And I'm telling you, I lost it. I was not expecting that. I was literally crying. You know, eighth grade boy, I was crying that my mother had cut her hair because I didn't like this change, but I didn't realize it's hard to have long hair. You got to brush it out. And it's, you know, getting a shower can be difficult and drying it and all this stuff. She just had enough of it, you know, and so finally she cut her hair. We all have things that we're comfortable with. We all have things that we hold on to. And we have to understand that these material things, they come and go. Buildings crumble, cars need repair, our bodies break down, but there's one thing that lasts forever, amen, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And so we have to keep an eternal focus. We have to keep our focus on the kingdom of God because that helps us pay attention to what really matters. That helps us grow a heart of gratitude for the things of heaven. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, and verses 19 through 20, 21. Remember, he said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus said, listen, don't get caught up on material things. I understand we need cars, we need clothes, we need houses, we need all these things. I get that. We have to repair them sometimes. But don't focus on that alone. Don't let that be the main thing in your life because all those things are going to break down. Cars are going to break down. Your home's going to need repair. I was up in my room the other day getting ready, and I hear this bump, 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 bump on the side of my wall. And I go outside, and there's a woodpecker pecking a hole in the side of my house. I said, what in the world are you doing? You know, and I thought I'd kind of scared him off, and I went up there again, and I could hear him again. And so I'm banging on the wall. I think my next step, I'm going to have to take some drastic measures because I don't know how, you know, I don't want him, you know, but I'm going to have to repair this hole in the side of my house. Sometimes things break down and they need repair. Buildings crumble. But the thing that will last forever is the kingdom of God. And it was for the sake of the kingdom of God, the gospel, that Paul could be thankful in the midst of beatings and imprisonment and all the things that he went through in life. Remember what we talked about as we've gone through 2 Timothy? He said, it's for this reason that I go through this because I, for the sake of people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's for the sake of the gospel that Paul could go through the difficult times in his life because he focused on the kingdom of God. He was willing to endure these things so that others could have the opportunity to follow Christ. And so when the difficult times come and we don't feel like being thankful, focus on the kingdom of God. Because ultimately, that's what will last forever. When your car breaks down, when you need a hip replacement, when you have difficulty in your life, understand things are going to break down. But one day we're going to be in the presence of Jesus forever. We're going to have new bodies fit for heaven and earth. And in heaven, there are no handicapped parking spots. There are no doctors or rehab centers or nursing homes. There's no cancer or medicine that we have to take. And we can look forward to that because this world in which we live, even though we might live to be 100, fails in comparison to eternity. And the Bible, you know what the Bible says? That we should encourage one another with those words, right? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of one another's in the New Testament. Encourage one another, spur one another into good deeds, greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't really do that one, but we shake hands and fist bump and all that. But there's a lot of those one another's, and part of it is encouraging one another's with the fact that, you know what? This world is not our final destination. One day Jesus will return to take his glorious bride home with him. Or one day we're going to pass away and we're going to be with God in eternity forever. So that's what we have to look forward to. We put so much emphasis on building our earthly kingdoms when Jesus said you need to be building your heavenly kingdom because that's what will last forever. And so focus on the eternal things. Focus on what is most important in life, the kingdom of God. As we think about the history of Thanksgiving and we think about our history as a nation, the history of our nation, the history of Thanksgiving in our nation, is really a lesson in giving thanks in everything. Because remember the story, the pilgrims left from Plymouth, England on September 6, 1620 for a new world. And so for over 2 months, the 102 passengers braved very harsh elements of the ocean. And when they arrived in Massachusetts in late November, the pilgrims had sought trying to figure out a place to land, so they'd sought a suitable place to land. And before they disembarked from their ship, they signed the Mayflower Compact, America's first document of civil government. And after a prayer service, the pilgrims began to build shelters. They were unprepared for the starvation and the sickness that they would encounter as they came to the new world of the harsh New England winter. And as a result, history tells us that nearly half of them died before spring. Yet preserving in prayer and assisted by helpful Native Americans, they reaped a bountiful harvest the following summer. And those pilgrims who had come, these grateful men and women, boys and girls, declared a 3-day feast starting on December 13th, 1621, to thank God and to celebrate with their Native American friends. This was America's first Thanksgiving festival. They were indeed thankful in everything. They weren't thankful for everything, but they were thankful in the midst of everything that had gone on around them. And even they, in this time of despair, still thanked God for their blessings. Of course, in 1789, George Washington celebrated, following a proclamation issued by George Washington, America celebrated its first Thanksgiving Day to God under its new Constitution. And then in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln set aside the last Thursday of November as a national day of Thanksgiving. And then finally in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday of Thanksgiving. So let's be thankful to give thanks in everything, not just on the fourth Thursday of November, but every day. Because we have much to be thankful for. Let me read the scripture again. Paul says, rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. Why? Because this is God's will for you. And there's a purpose in that, and we can do it with the hope that we have in Christ. So I hope that is encouraging to you today as we come into this Thanksgiving week. I know that all of us here have gone through difficult times. Some, it seems, more than others. Some of us have difficult things that we're going through right now. I get that. And it's hard to be thankful. But if we focus on God's wisdom and we focus on His kingdom, that can help us to be thankful in the midst of everything else that we're going through. And one day, we're going to be with Him forever. Praise the Lord. And we'll be perfect. And we can say all the words correctly in the sermon. And we can do all the things that we need to do because we'll be perfect in every way. So I want to encourage you for that today. I want to encourage you in that today. And I pray that you will feel that love from God this week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the grace and mercy that you give us. We thank you for the wonderful video that we saw earlier. These kids sharing these heartfelt things from their lives. Lord, it just encourages me so much to see what they're learning through godly men and women here in our church. And we know that you're going to use these principles that have been instilled in their lives at an early age to help them be the men and women of God that you want them to be later on in life. To help them to be the men and women, the husbands and wives, the dads and the moms that you desire them to be. Leaders in their homes, in their churches, and in their community, because they have the things of God, the character of God, the tenets of God instilled in their lives. And I pray that you would use that in a mighty way as these children, these teenagers grow and flourish in their lives. But Father, for all of us, we have many things to be thankful for. Even in the midst of difficulty, Lord, we bow to you. We acknowledge that you are God and that we are not. We focus upon your kingdom because that's the most important thing. And Lord, that helps us to be thankful in all things. Father, be glorified now as we sing this song of praise to you. Father, begin to work in our hearts as only you can. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen.